An economy in motion.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Housing starts, not so good. Cars that'll go farther on a tank, and planes that are finally coming off the assembly line. All part of the morning open. A look at what's driving the economy today. So let's check. Where's Wall Street? Wall Street flat and down just a bit, 0.25% down for the Dow, about 20 points. NASDAQ down about 0.25% as well. S&P 500 right now down about 0.1%. Home Depot reported better than expected profits today, cost-cutting measures helping there. European shares are up about 1.5% and below, and Asian stocks closed higher today as well. All right, Julie Nieman from Smith Moore & Company joining us right now from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So we have this gloomy government report released this morning. Housing construction plunged to a record low last month. And that's the caveat here is that there was a big drop in apartments being built, offsetting a rebound in single-family homes. You know, there's so much volatility, Julie, revisions and all. Why does Wall Street pay so much attention to one specific report?
Well, Wall Street reacts to every whiff of change in the winds of change here. They're hoping for anything to come down the line. So good news from Lowe's yesterday sent the market skyrocketing, which made no sense. And so Home Depot today, Home Depot ran up yesterday. It's selling off today just because the sell on the news and the profit was up significantly.
Let's talk a little bit about President Obama's plans to raise car and truck fuel efficiency standards. That's happening this morning in an announcement. It's a big deal. The standards are way high at 35.5 miles per gallon going into 2016. This morning, Charles Chirito, who's a spokesman for the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers, said this.
We recognize that we need to work towards increasing fuel economy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and we're going to make every effort to meet and hopefully even exceed these standards.
Now, come on, Julie. These are the same guys who brought us the Hummer, right? I mean, am I wrong here? But a few years ago, wouldn't the auto industry have smacked back like a rubber band at this?
And they did, thanks to all their lobbyists in Congress, kicking and screaming all the way. They're finally being carried into the modern times here. You know, bottom line is, you wouldn't need CAFE standards if you put a big, fat gasoline tax. Basically, Europe is paying between $6 and $8 a gallon. They don't need fuel efficiency. They've got it. Nothing focuses the attention like price.
All right. And we hear American Express says it's cutting 4,000 more jobs. That's above and beyond the 7,000 layoffs announced last year. A big deal there, right?
It's a continuing on with mass layoffs, and you're going to continue to hear more of this, too. Financial services is really just beginning in terms of the layoffs. You're going to see more consolidation as you see more mergers within the banking industry. Basically, it's going to go all the way down the line. You're going to see it in the insurance industry especially because a number of insurance companies
yes.
are right at the edge
Absolutely.
Here in terms of basket
case. So much going on. Absolutely. Julie Nieman from Smith Moore & Company. Thank you so much.
You
Appreciate
bet.
It, Julie. Polls open in about an hour here in California where there's a lot on the line, trying to shore up a multi-billion dollar budget shortfall. In his marketplace, Stacey Vanek Smith reports the Golden State's not alone in the budget crunching department.
Most states are required by law to balance their budgets. Deficits aren't an option. If tax revenue drops, states either have to cut costs or find more money. John Shore directs the state fiscal project at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
Tax revenues across the country are down by larger amounts than any time in the last 50 years. States can argue about who has it worse, but the bottom line is they're all in pretty deep trouble.
Today, Californians vote on measures that would raise taxes and slash budgets for health care and education. If the measures don't pass, California could try to tap everybody's new favorite source of cash, the U.S. Treasury. But Shore points out the federal government has already given states nearly $150 billion to cover budget shortfalls, and states need to figure out other ways to balance their budgets.
You know, the way for states to get out of this is through a diverse set of actions.
Shore says states need to try a mix of issuing bonds, raising taxes, and cutting budgets. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report on Tuesday, May 19th, 2009 at Marketplace.org. Porsche says it's looking for an outside investor. The German sports car company needs help after its merger deal with Volkswagen fell apart. From the European desk in London, here's Stephen Beard.
One German newspaper calls this a modern-day version of David and Goliath, only this time David lost the battle. First, the much smaller company Porsche tried to take over the giant Volkswagen and failed. Then the two companies agreed to merge instead, but that fell apart when they couldn't agree on who should wind up in the driver's seat. This leaves Porsche with a problem. The company borrowed more than $12 billion to buy a major stake in Volkswagen. Howard Wieldon is with the BGC Group. He says the sports car company now needs the support of an outside shareholder.
Over the next few years, we will see a separation rather than a combination here. Porsche will go out and they will try and refund and do things in a different way.
Wieldon says it's likely the company will look to a sovereign wealth fund in the Middle East for new capital. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
New York Senator Charles Schumer is expected to introduce a bill that would rein in executive pay. That bill would let shareholders vote every year on whether they think the company bosses are getting paid a bit too much. Jill Barshay reports.
Shareholders and companies that took federal bailout money got to vote on pay this year. Rich Furlato is a director with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. He's been fighting for more shareholder influence on executive pay, but
at this point, there have been no dramatic votes rejecting a pay plan.
Furlato says large investors dominate shareholder meetings, but they tend to side with management.
It's now up to shareholders, particularly the institutional shareholders like mutual funds, to step up to the plate, to use that power responsibly, and begin to rein in pay.
British shareholders got the right to vote on pay in 2002. Furlato says that stopped executive pay from running out of control there. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
You know, China has some high-flying tech companies and online stores, video games, and internet search engines. Almost all of them are publicly traded on exchanges outside of China. For example, Baidu, China's equivalent of Google, is listed on the NASDAQ. Beijing's had enough of that. The government's just announced plans to create its own version of the NASDAQ, or we should say that's what they're hoping it'll turn out to be. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
China's financial system hasn't been much of a friend to private startups. The historically government-run economy has channeled most of the loans to lumbering state-owned companies. These firms also tend to get Beijing's permission to raise money on the stock market. In fact, Arthur Krober at consultancy Dragonomics calls China's stock market an ATM for state firms.
State companies use capital less efficiently than private companies. They generate less economic growth and less jobs.
But now Beijing is chasing an innovation economy and has finally decided to give promising private growth companies a market of their own. It's called the Growth Enterprise Board. The GEB hopes to nurture Chinese tech stars, the same way NASDAQ helped Google and eBay and Intel. It's very ambitious, though. After all, the country that brought us paper and gunpowder and the compass has gone dry lately in the invention department. Securities lawyer Scott Guan.
In order for knowledge to be commercialized, it's very important to have an effective growth enterprise board.
But Guan says many countries try to clone NASDAQ and fail. Companies and investors stay away, often because prices fluctuate wildly. And that's a big risk in China.
Chinese people, we like speculation. That's why the market tend to be volatile.
So Beijing has built stabilizers into the new exchange to try to deter fly-by-nighters. Companies that go public need to show a 3-year track record of profits. On the NASDAQ, it's just one. And in China, key investors won't be able to cash out for 2 years. Still, Ping Zhou at GE Asset Management hears Chinese venture capitalists cheering.
They will be very excited because you just have one more channel to exit their investment.
The new board hosts its first IPO this fall, and it may take years to be a serious global competitor. Either way, it's a welcome addition to China's capital market toolkit, which right now is pretty empty. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Today, the House Financial Services Committee holds a hearing on how to improve credit agency regulation. It's a topic that's been under discussion a lot ever since it emerged that Moody's, Standard & Poor's, and Fitch Ratings had overrated many securities that ended up plummeting in value. One thing some observers would like to change is the rating agency's little-known First Amendment protection. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
The rating agencies started out as publications. They still claim the same freedom of speech status a newspaper might. That makes it tough to sue them and win. Banking consultant Bert Ely says it's time that changed.
In my opinion, if the rating agencies could be sued for negligence, they probably would not have rated a lot of these complex products in the first place, and we would not have the global financial crisis that we do today.
But Sylvan Raines of R&R Consulting says it's not the First Amendment protections that are the problem. It's everyone's understanding of how these complicated securities work. He says here's what should happen.
If we really sat down around a table and we said, okay, we will not leave this room until we are all clear in our heads how structured securities shall be valued.
He says all that slicing and dicing of loans isn't going away. He says if the financial industry doesn't work out how to value this stuff, the whole crisis could repeat itself. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Last time a Boeing debuted a model off the assembly line, it was a 777 15 years ago. Now, its new airplane is finally getting ready for its first flight after 2 years of delays. KUOW in Seattle, Deborah Wong reports.
Boeing hasn't had an easy time getting its 787 Dreamliner off the ground. There have been part shortages, manufacturing glitches, even a labor strike. So when Boeing recently decided to open its factory doors to show off the first few airplanes, people took it as a good sign. Yvonne Leach is a spokesperson for the 787.
We're always confident when progress is being made. New airplane programs always have a chance of unknowns. We hope we've seen the unknowns on this program. They're behind us.
Boeing says the first Dreamliner should be ready for its maiden flight sometime next month. Eventually, a total of six airplanes will be put through thousands of hours of flight tests. They'll have their engines stalled in midair. They'll be subjected to simulated bird strikes. They'll even have to fly with fake ice taped to their wings. Michel Merluzot is an aerospace analyst for G2 Solutions. He says problems could still emerge during the flight tests, but he doesn't expect anything dramatic.
This is Boeing's territory, you know, flight testing. They can execute well. They're in their comfort zone here. They're in the business of flying and testing aircraft.
But Merluzot says the airplane not only has to fly, it has to fly as promised. It's made mostly of carbon fiber instead of aluminum, so it's supposed to be lighter and 20% more fuel efficient. But the first planes are coming off the assembly line heavier than expected. Merluzot says airlines aren't happy.
They sold the concept to the customer. Actually, there are airlines that are basing their route strategy on that aircraft. So it's absolutely critical that they meet these performance targets.
Despite the production delays and the recession, airlines are still eagerly awaiting the new plane. Boeing has more than 800 orders on the books. The first Dreamliner is scheduled to be delivered to Japan's All Nippon Airways sometime next spring. In Seattle, I'm Deborah Wong for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.